I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parents in Hell with...
You've got to be fucking kidding me, Rob. It's done it again.
What's it done? Connected to your headphones?
Fucking... Josh.
Please.
Let me say fucking please. Please get some headphones you just plug into the mic. This is mental. It's every week, Josh.
I know.
What are you doing today?
Hello?
No, don't do that to me.
Hello?
Please, I can't.
Hello?
You can't hear us now. Okay.
I've got you.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Good. What are you doing today, Josh?
Buying headphones?
I've soundproofed a fucking room within a week.
Rob, you've hung up an Arsenal shirt.
True, it was quite fun, actually, quite enjoyed it. The most world's most expensive soundproofing.
Don't fucking give me your bloody Brian Eno getting his recordings to
you. This can't be the show, Josh.
It is the show.
No, it's not. It's not interesting.
Rob, that's not stopped us before.
No, but it might stop us now.
If you're listening for the first time because of David Cross.
They're all like this.
They're all like this.
not this bad. But this is the new rule. If you haven't got wired headphones, I will refuse to record.
Okay.
I'm going to go on strike like the trains. I'm going to ring up, and do you know what will happen? You'll log on with your little clippy Bluetooth headphones.
I've bought them.
You know who will be sat here? Do you know who will be sat here? Yeah, you've bought, do you know who will be sat here? Nick Lynch.
Has he got kids?
I bet he'll be a good chat, actually. We should get old Lynchy on. And we'll keep going. So, Mick, what's it like having kids? And he'll start just like bringing it back to driverless trains. Like, we know you've got, I know you've got a thing you need to talk about. You're here to plug the old strikes. But, what we're supposed to be talking about is we've got David Cross coming on in a minute. Brilliant guest, American comedian and actor. Yeah.
You've got a dog. You've got a dog you don't like. And then consequently, you've just revealed that you're getting another dog.
No, I've got a dog I do like, actually. And since we've moved, me and the dog, Fred, have been getting on a lot better because the house was chaos before. We've got a bit more space now for the dog to run around in. And so these are the two reasons to get another dog. One, when we go out, he won't be lonely. He's got a little mate. Two, there's loads of space. They do get lonely. Loads of space so he can run around in the gardens. Three, what I find most stressful is when you're walking a dog, you have to talk to other people. Right. And there's a lot of other dogs that come over and you have to talk to them, blah, blah, blah. However, the problem with a whippet is they need to run. They need to run around and play to get the energy out because they're sprinters. You can't just like walk them along like a little pug or something and get them puffed out. They need to sprint. So if you have two dogs, they can play together. I can just drive to a field. I can walk around the field and they can chase each other. And then I can get back in the car, speak to zero people and enjoy my life. And ultimately, Lou wanted another one. Happy wife, happy life. So that's the bottom line.
Rob.
Do you know what? I can do all them bullshit reasons. The last minute has been,
I was not buying it. Not buying it.
Bottom line is, if Lou and the girls are happy, I'm happy. All that other stuff I said before is stuff she's told me to sort of try and convince me. But ultimately, she gets away. We've got two dogs and that buck stops there.
And is it another whippet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Called... Well, the girls wanted to call
bloody hell, this has progressed. It's got a name.
We don't get him until the end of July. He's called... Right. Well, the girls want to call him Simon. I can't have a dog called Simon. So we quite like... that. Then they suggested Georgie, Paulgie, Pudding and Pie. Yeah. So we're going to have a dog called George, essentially. George. Yeah. They're going to call it Georgie, Paulgie. So Fred and George, incoming. We'll keep you updated on how that's going. So, yeah. Oh, the other thing, England football team gig.
Oh, my God.
I'm talking about this. Right.
Yeah. So well, not if it went well.
it was a mixed bag. So
okay,
it was
I'll buy that.
Up at their training. They try and do stuff. Like Robbie Williams has been there before, Ed Sheeran, and sing a couple of songs. They wanted to try something different. And I went up and did stand-up. But I was in the like team meeting room, and it was Gareth Southgate. He's such a lovely bloke as well, by the way.
He's
such a lovely guy. So we basically went up and did a little gig for him. Then
got kids?
He has got kids. Then we all had dinner after. But they've been doing high performance They had the guy Damien from the High Performance Podcast there during the day. Anyway, a really lovely guy he was, but they'd had a day of like quite important, and they're like, they're young, and also they take things really like,
literally.
Seriously. So Southgate teed me up and introduced me as like, right, we've been talking about elite performance and getting the mentality right. So now we've got a talk from someone who's an absolute elite athlete, and he knows exactly what
good.
He said.
This is good.
Yeah, so that's sort of
worked. Southgate knows what he's fucking doing.
Exactly, and he set me up sort of perfectly, but I think they were a bit confused, and I don't think if they knew if I was going to come out and do comedy or talk about how I managed to, like, do comedy.
Right, yeah. So when you look the audience in the eyes, the three things I learned from comedy that you could take into penalty taking are this.
Exactly. Or like when you're up against pressure. And because we were in their team meeting room, I think they thought it was going to be a serious talk from me. And because it wasn't like, they weren't like after a game, because they were leading up to a game. So it's really like focus.
You've got to worry about what Malta's fullbacks. That's what I'm telling you now.
Yeah, that's what they've been doing in that room, like leading up to it. And then so they were like, a bit unsure about what, and because if it was after a game and we had a few beers, it would be a different kind of environment.
How nervous were you?
Petrified. But I was like, you know what, you've got to give it a go. But when you get in that, like, you just walk out and it's like all the England team in front of you. It's very,
I'm just
like, and because they're not in kit, they're in their like tracksuits, it's quite distracting. You're like, oh, that's, and you sort of just keep going, that's, and you forget how sort of famous they are and how much you watch them. Like, you watch them like three or four times a week, these people. I'd say I got a few good jokes away, but there was no atmosphere in the room like for comedy. So anything that worked, smashed it, and it got massive laughs. Anything that didn't work. So it went from real...
Did you write a bespoke set?
Well, I had to, really. I couldn't just start doing jokes about Philip Schofield.
Yeah.
I went out and then the thing I said at the beginning was, I know you're talking about elite mindset and high performance, but let's just not escape from the fact that Malta are fucking shit.
Yeah.
Nice. That got a laugh.
Good work. Yeah,
and
that's
then,
good.
And then I basically... But I did, congratulations to Man City. These were the jokes I had, right? And I tell you, can tell me if you think they went well or not. Basically, Jack Grealish, Kyle Walker, Phil Foden hadn't arrived. John Stones and Calvin Phillips had got there after the celebrating the treble. And Jude Bellingham was in Madrid. Okay, so that's the setup. Anyway, I said, I want to congratulate... I mean, first of all, is Jack Grealish alive? Has anyone heard from him?
Yeah, nice.
To that, I had no response.
Okay. Oh, God. And at what point did you feel at that? What did you?
I felt my soul leave my body. And I was
oh, God. Right?
And then I said, I wanted to congratulate him on his historic treble, vodka, gin, and whiskey all in the same party.
Yeah, that works. That
no,
works.
No, it didn't.
What?
That didn't get
that
much.
Works.
Didn't get
Come
much.
Come on, fuck. Cheer up, Trent. That fucking works, mate. Come on.
Then I said, congratulations. And then I was like, oh, this is hard, isn't it? And then
did you say that?
I went, oh, tough gig this, isn't it? Let's see how this goes, like that, and sort of acknowledge it, and I got a bit of a laugh. So that worked. This one didn't get a laugh. So Jude Bellingham, I wanted to say thank you, not there though, which is difficult in trying to do a joke about. Just want to say thanks for joining Real Madrid from all the Arsenal fans and the rest of the Premier League. We're very thankful that you've gone there, especially Calvin Phillips. Didn't get a laugh.
Didn't get a laugh. Fuck hell.
Then I said, this got a laugh. I went, Declan Rice, not only Man City win a European Cup. Declan Rice, you won something this week, didn't you? Or I'm not sure. You didn't mention it on social media.
Nice.
It's quite base stuff. And then he went, yeah, I did milk it a bit anyway, didn't I? Like that, because he's a nice bloke, Declan Rice.
Yeah,
and I said, milk it? Is that what it was? The fucking milk cup? That got a big laugh.
That's good.
And
that's
then I thought,
good.
Ah, here we go. So I basically spent 5 to 10 minutes hammering West Ham and Declan Rice because it was the only thing that was working properly. And then what was it called? The Europa League Conference Auto Glass Windscreen Carabao fucking Cup, was it? And then they were all laughing. I went, no one knows what it's called. And then I said, but I tell you what, you'd take it at Tottenham, wouldn't you, Harry? So Harry Kane.
Oh,
that got a big laugh. And I
nice.
Said,
so basically, you went really hard on all our England heroes to win them over.
Yeah, basically.
It's like a corporate in that sense. You just want to have a go at the boss. So did you remember all this, or have you got a
script? No, I had it on a bit of paper and I looked at it and it was awful. But it was the only way I could do it. There was so much stuff, Josh.
Oh, God.
I came out of a clipboard to try and make it look like I was a coach, like, because he was going to set me up as like, well, a coach. I had like a clipboard, so I felt so much like David Brent, you know, in The Office when David Brent goes
in. Oh, God.
It was honestly, Josh, there were some bits that were amazing, but there were some bits that I was just like, this is fucking hard. What I'd say is, I would not put it up there with one of my greatest ever comedy performances, but I think under the circumstances, I carved out a decent gig.
And one experience.
Exactly. Great experience. And I think. I think you can get so wrapped up in your ego about, because I was contemplating pulling out because I was like, I couldn't bear for it to not go well in front of the England team and all that. But that's just your ego of going, oh, what if I don't look? I'm like, well, it's going to be what it's going to be. I'm going up there. I know I can do it. I know I can do jokes. It might go well. It might not. But either way, it's happened. And just let that happen and exist and not beat yourself up either way. So.
Totally agree.
I'm glad I did it. But,
glad you did it.
Yeah, so that was my gift for the England team. So let's see if I get, I said, when they went, oh, it was great. You should get you back to do some other bits and bobs. And I went, can I do a quiz next time? Can I do a quiz after a game when they're allowed a beer, please? Because I think it might be easier. But no, it was, they're a lovely bunch. And it's like, do you know what? Well, Gareth Southgate's created such a nice atmosphere there. And all the players are so polite, you know, kind, like chatty and friendly. There's no ego and arrogance, and you look at it because the top players there, like sort of the Jordan Hendersons and Kane, the senior players, are all such unbelievable professionals, and they're so like Kane and Henderson are unbelievable players and unbelievable people. So I think that sort of filters down through the team. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, so no, it was a great experience, but yeah, that was my time with the England team.
Let's remember that when we go out in the group stages in 2024. Rob,
yep.
Enough about England.
Mm.
We are an international podcast.
Sure, yeah, global. If anything.
Yeah, global. Yeah, exactly.
Worldwide.
This is David Cross from New York. David Cross, hello.
Hello, Josh. How are you?
Good.
And Rob. Right, straight away, let me say this. I'm assuming because of your outfit and your hair that this is just audio.
Shockingly, David. Not anymore. Not always.
Not after you've said that. I'll tell you what happened is I've had a very intense... I had to do a speed awareness course. Do you have speed awareness courses in America?
No.
No. So, like, I did 24 in a 20, and so you can either take 3 points on your license or go and do a Zoom.
Okay, yeah, we have the equivalent. Yes, we do. Yeah.
And then it made me late to pick up my son, so I drove to get him in there. I had to come back and then...
perpetuating the same problem. You have to speed up. Now you've got to go faster than you normally would. And it's a scam, Josh. It's a fucking scam. How they get you.
You are on tour. Normally, we would like hide the promo in the middle. We'd talk about parenting, then we'd do a bit of promo, then we'd go back to parenting. But your tour is called The Worst Daddy in the World. Is that correct?
That's right.
That is up our street. I don't know whether it's purely for promo opportunity, but you've absolutely nailed us. How did you come about the title?
My daughter gave it to me unintentionally. But I would say a third of my material is based around, you know, either kids or being a dad or or I use that as a segue and other stuff. And she was just, you know, crying about, you know, some whatever thing. I wouldn't give her a third ice cream or some shit like that. And she said I was the worst daddy in the world. And I was like, oh, there's my title. There it is.
How old is your daughter?
She's she'll be 6 and a half in like 6 weeks or so.
Right. So you've just got the one, haven't you? That's just the one child. Yeah. Because I've got a 7-year-old. Josh, your daughter's 5, is she?
Yeah.
So we are knee deep in that sort of very baby-y, but also think they're 35.
She started to learn, not that she knows the term, but she knows the concept of gaslighting, where we had yesterday, we were at the playground and she's in this big monkey bar kick. Like she loves going across the monkey bars. We'll go to certain, there's tons of parks where I live in Brooklyn, New York, and there's playgrounds everywhere. And now we've got to go to the one specifically with the monkey bars that she likes. And she was going across and there were other kids waiting their turn. And I was just sitting on the bench. I was exhausted. And I was just like, Marlo, you gotta let everybody have their turn. That's not cool. And then, she would stop and then other kids, you know, and then she would kind of butt in and go again. And then and there were clearly kids waiting. She went and then she turned around without even stepping on the platform. I just turned around, started going back. And I was like, hey, Marlo, no. And then she started going back again. And I was like, that's it. Stop. I got angry. She dropped down. I was like, you're going to sit on this bench for 5 minutes. Okay. You're going to sit here for 5 minutes. That's not cool. That's not considerate. Blah, blah, blah. And she started crying. And then she tried to, she knew she was wrong. And she tried to explain that three, when you go back and forth and back again, that's one turn. And one turn. And she's like, you know that. You know that's one turn. Is what? I'm like, no, you said it. No, I've never said
that. Five minutes is a long time as well to tell. That's bold. I'm impressed with that
well,
confidence.
Well, it wasn't a real 5 minutes. It was 5 minutes because I want that. Because you're right, it does sound long. Mm. And it will. The concept of it is part of the punishment. And then, you know, she was cried for maybe 3 minutes. And then somehow, it's always about distraction. It's always about getting them to focus on some other thing. And then she stopped crying. And then, you know, pretty soon she was telling me this. And then I was like, all right, you can go. It was probably like 3 minutes. But as long as they think it's 5 minutes.
My daughter's got a Fitbit watch thing that tells her the time and her steps. So well, she will do a timer now. So if I say it's 2 minutes, she'll do the timer, and it sort of fucks you up because you're like, this is actually too long. But if I get her off the bench before the minutes, I've got no authority.
Oh, I massage the times on the toothbrushing. I'll say 2 minutes, which we were meant to. No one can fucking brush their teeth for 2 minutes.
Yes, I can't. It's so long.
No, I don't. And see, you know what? Here's the thing. To me, specifically regarding toothbrushing, she's still got only two, you know, regular teeth, and the rest of them are baby teeth. And this whole period is just about getting her used to it. So I'm not going to be a hard ass and say you have to do 2 minutes. If she's done a good 40 seconds, I'm happy, you know?
To be honest, we could go, you don't need to brush your teeth till you're five. Because it's
that's
like if you knew you were selling your car and you'd already sold it, you're not taking it to the valet. Do you know what I mean? If you've sold your house, you're not adding an extension. Like they're going. Like it's over for those.
You might as well just have your fun with the baby ones, as much sugar as you want, and then you'll be sensible at five.
Yeah, this is all warming, getting into that stuff. Although I'm phenomenally lucky. The more I talk to other parents in that. My kid eats really well. She doesn't have a sweet tooth, and she sleeps really well too.
Oh,
so we got really lucky. When I talk to other parents, like, you know, my kid won't eat vegetables and only eats candy. I'm like, that's her favorite food is broccoli.
No, oh, what else does she? All my kids eat is plain pasta.
You said that, Rob. Like you were going, talk to me dirty.
What kind of stuff do you get? Like,
talk me through this forbidden food.
No, we got super lucky but she likes, I mean, even from like when she just started eating broccoli, zucchini, sweet potato, she eats well, you know, she doesn't have a whole lot of crap. I mean, the one, outside of like sweets and, you know, on if she's been good, she gets ice cream on Friday and all that stuff.
One ice cream a week. My kids ice cream intake's out of control.
Well, here's the thing. That's ice cream, but she will get snacks and kind of like yogurt covered pretzels and things like that. But, and she'll get ices. I don't know. You don't really have that.
Is that like an ice pole?
No, it's like the Italian ice, you know, the little guys on the push carts. We have them in New York all over. They just scoop up, but it's like, it's not as much sweet and dairy. It's more fruit juice.
Like a sorbet.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's so funny. Americans at ices sound fun. Another in English, sorbet. An unnecessary long and posh word for fruit ice.
What's it like in New York? Like, does she like going into the center of New York and riding the subway and all that kind of...
She loves the subway. I don't think she has a real... sees a distinction between Manhattan and Brooklyn. And Brooklyn's pretty, you know, it's fairly dense. We have a lot more trees here and playgrounds and stuff like that and parks. But, I mean, it's similar to London that way, you know.
Yeah.
But she loves the subway, loves it.
Would you be bringing her on tour?
No. Oh, I mean... I did when she was whatever the last tour was, but she was about 2.5, 3 years old, and we had a tour bus and we were going across America and Canada, and we just had a pack and play, took a drill and put it into the back room of the tour bus, and it was me and my wife, who was also had a book coming out, so she would do bookstore as well in whatever city I was going to. And then we had a nanny, and we were out on the road for almost 4 months.
Blimey.
Was that fun? That sounds like hell.
No, it was great.
Was it?
Well, I mean, especially because of the way I'm doing the tour this time, same amount of dates, but it's spread out over 8 months. But, you know, because she's in school now, and I go out for 3-4 days, and I come home for 3-4 days. I'm home right now. I'll be back out on Friday. But so there's no tour bus. So I miss that. That is the most convenient, wonderful, wonderful thing in the world, where you finish the gig. And then you're like, hey, you know, because of the routing and the timing, we can't get into the next hotel until check-in's at 3 or whatever. So you go, you finish the show, and then you get to go out drinking, right? Whatever town you're in. And then you just get on a bus and chill out for a little bit, go to sleep, wake up, and you're in the next town.
I can't believe it. That must be so good.
Oh, it's amazing.
I can't believe that.
I don't have that now. So it's all driving and flying and places that where you have to, like, oh, I have to get to the airport by 7:30 because I got a flight that there's no direct flight. So I have to fly to Charlotte, North Carolina, which is backwards to get to Minneapolis from Detroit. You know, it's just all that kind of shit. So that sucks. But yeah.
The UK is not really big enough for a tour bus, though. Everywhere's close enough.
No, it would be the biggest waste of money in the world.
You wouldn't need a comfortable, environmentally sound electric vehicle that's not a Tesla.
Tom Allen, the comedian, got a bus like you're talking about from Exeter up to London because he had to do. He was hosting the breakfast radio show in centre of town.
Oh my!
So
word.
He didn't have to get all the way home and then get back in that anyway. But it just he couldn't because it was all windy roads in Exeter, like Devon.
Oh yeah, of course.
Look, he couldn't sleep because he kept on getting thrown off the bed. It's not like big freeways in America. Like it's these windy little English roads, and he spent 3 hours getting thrown about. And then he got to central London at about 3 a.m. and he just was laying there awake, hearing all the people around.
Oh,
him.
What they just parked up and he just had to stay in his bus.
Parked up outside London Bridge Station, just waiting.
I've been to Devon. That's no place for a tour bus.
Exactly. He had a terrible time. Josh, do you want to go through the tour dates quickly in the UK?
Yes.
For David?
Should we find them? I can go through the tour dates
well,
very
Steve
quickly.
Steve Wright. There's a DJ, well, we call it Steve Wright, David. There's a DJ in the UK who's famous for reading out everybody's tour dates.
He's the only one who'd read every date. I'm going to do the American ones as well that are on it. State College, PA. Where's PA?
I think that's too long, Josh, wasn't it? All the American ones. It's an 8-month tour.
Pittsburgh, PA. Philadelphia. Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Let's see
if I can do this. Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah. New York, New York. New York, New York. Irving Plaza. South Burlington, VT. Vermont.
Very good.
Huntington, New York.
Yeah.
Belfast, United Kingdom. That's September the 12th, September the 13th, Dublin. September the 14th, Glasgow. September the 15th, Union Chapel, London. September the 17th, New Century, Manchester. Then back to America for Northampton, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Bozeman, MT.
Montana.
Very good.
Yes.
Missoula, Montana. Spokane, Wyoming.
Spokane.
Washington.
There you go.
Boise, Idaho.
Boise.
Mm-hmm. This is embarrassing. St. Louis, Obispo.
This is awful,
Obispo, California, Santa Cruz, California, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Tucson, Arizona, from the Beatles song Get Back, so I know that one, at least.
All right, well, thank you so much, Josh. We'll leave your tape with Patsy up front, and we'll get back to you. Thank you so much.
Is there any routines in your tour that you worry about your daughter seeing one day when it's on? You know, presumably it'll be filmed at some point, will it? And then you're worried that she'll see it?
I mean, yes and no. I think ultimately I'm not worried, but I would, if she saw this current set before she understood that I was clearly joking, that would be not a good thing. But
can you give us a flavor of it without ruining the bit?
Yeah, like I have a whole bit that is about how I love her very much. And I preface it with all these other jokes, but I love her, you know, in a way that I didn't think I was capable of loving another thing. But ultimately I get to the idea, which is, I love her, but I resent her. I really deeply resent her because she's rich and she's a rich kid. And I grew up poor and I don't like rich people and I'm rich. And then I do this thing about where I talk to her about all the things that she has, that she has no concept about that makes you rich.
I feel that though towards my own child. I worry about, I constantly worry about, not constantly, I
he
regularly
is constantly
worry,
David.
I do constantly worry about her being, her not appreciating the things.
Yeah.
That
oh, absolutely.
I give her. I worry about that quite a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She doesn't get that we're going on good holidays. She doesn't understand that.
Yeah, there's a thing we will get when we travel, and we're going on our second really big, fancy vacation with two other families. We all split this house in St. Martin, you know, which is...
Mm. Oh, wow, yeah.
You know, it's amazing. It's a beautiful house on the water. We're going to be there for 7 days. And like, I have this thing where, and we're in, what do you call it? Main, Comfort Plus, you know, where you get the extra leg room in the plane.
Yeah. Premium economy or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll pay for that. I'm happy to do it. It's, you know, for a long flight. But she has no concept.
And she's only got little legs as well. She doesn't even need the leg room.
She doesn't even need it. But like when I'm doing these gigs, I fly coach, you know, because I'd rather spend my money on those things. But she just knows those things. She doesn't see it as a special occasion thing. She's growing up with like, oh, yeah, well, this is what we do. Yeah. You know, with no concept of like, no, I'm busting my ass out of the road and I'm flying coach and I'm getting up at 6:30 in the morning so that we can afford this thing that you're just going like, I didn't want the crunchy Cheetos. I wanted the puffy Cheetos. Like, so that's the rich kid mentality I'm worried about.
What can you do about that, though? I don't
know.
Part
of me just wants to scream at him, you'll have whatever fucking puffy Cheetos I'll give you, but you can't. That's not good.
No, you know what you can do, though, is yell at other people's kids when that comes up. And just turn and look back in the airplane and go, hey, kid, listen, you'll take whatever fucking Cheetos they give you, okay? And then turn back to your daughter and wink.
Is she interested in what you do? Has she got any interest in these things, even at 6 and a half? Is she excited?
No, not really. She knows that I do jokes, that, or my daddy's funny. You know, what does your dad do for a job? He's funny, he tells jokes or whatever. But just recently, and I mean in the last month, things have shifted a bit because what I knew was going to be inevitable. I was hoping it would not happen for as long as it could, but she saw me on TV and she saw one of the Chipmunk movies. And so now she has a different... sort of additional information that she has to process, you know?
It's quite a weird way into your career, that, isn't it? I wouldn't say it's a gateway into David Cross.
Yeah. If I say, do you like David Cross, Arrested Development, I wouldn't go straight in with Chipmunks.
Well, when you're 6 and a half, maybe it's...
Yeah. What did you... excuse me, I've not seen the Chipmunk movie. What's your role in the Chipmunk movie?
I'm in the first three and I play the same character. I play the guy who is a sleazy, exploits the chipmunks and kidnaps them. And, you know,
oh, no, the baddie in the kids film.
That guy. I'm the bad guy. Yeah.
Does that come up at the school gates or anything? Like, do other kids, when you're in the park, go, oh my God, that sleazy guy from the Chipmunks movies.
No, it hasn't. And, I think probably in the next 2 years, that'll be happening a little bit more. But it really hasn't. It's, I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's New York and just even from maybe they're just, it's ingrained at an early age, but people in New York just do not give a shit. You know, they just, when I travel and people are like, oh my God, it's good. It's Chipmunks guy, you know, and if you're in New York and people recognize you, you're like, oh yeah, it's a chipmunk guy. And you know.
So what did your daughter make of the chipmunks and you being in it?
She said it was funny and that I was funny. And then it wasn't about me at all. It was about like my favorite chipmunk was Simon, because he's the youngest, and she just started talking about the chipmunks, which was very encouraging. Like she didn't get hung up on that other stuff. Like, huh? Wait, you're my dad and you're on, like, that was nothing. That was,
you didn't have to explain to her, that's not me, I'm playing a role.
They're not real chipmunks.
They're not real chipmunks.
No, I lied to her. I told her they were real chipmunks. And, and I was the fake.
And so what's your kind of, how does it work with your wife? Like in terms of, it feels like from talking to you, you're involved dad in the sense that we speak to some people. I get the impression that they're not that fussed about being a parent, but they're just promoting their thing.
Yeah.
But
I get the feeling. Seen their kid that week. I think one's called Stephen.
But I get the impression with you, you love parenthood.
I love it. I do. I love her. I love being a dad. I think, you know, without getting into the, you know, sob story of it, I had a very shitty dad in multiple ways. And I think it's just part of, like, I don't know, rewriting the balance of the universe. But I would never treat a kid the way he treated us or do that.
Is that in your mind a lot when you're parenting? Like, I want to make this kind of rebalance this and get this right.
Not the rebalancing part so much as just, I will do it right. I will not make a kid go through what me and my sisters had to go through. And, which is, you know, it's still like, you know, we're adults and I mean, more than adults, I'm old and it's still like a fresh scar that I have.
Do you mind if I ask what you did? You don't have to say.
Well, I mean, it wasn't physical abuse. It was just, he was a pathological liar. He was, he just clearly didn't, he just wanted the easy part of being a father and none of the hard part. And he wasn't around a lot. And we found out later, all these other things, like he was fucking around constantly with everybody. Right. And we moved every year. I was in a different school, different city or different state every single year. Up until I was, the first time I went to the same school was fifth to sixth grade, was the first time I was in the same school. And, you know, we barely saw him. And he also stole my bar mitzvah money.
No.
Yeah.
Jesus. It's like if you wrote that in a sitcom or film, you'd go, it's a bit too much, this guy. That's one thing too much to do.
He was a real piece of work.
I think that's really life-affirming that that's not something that's actively damaged your parenting, but if anything, it's actively kind of made your parenting more...
No, I think it's made it it's a good thing. And
So when you've called your tour the worst daddy in the world... It feels like you know that you're not even in the top. You're definitely not the worst daddy in the world yourself.
Even in your own gene pool. With like your relationship with your dad and stuff like that, I imagine when you was like a grown up without kids, you sort of can put that to the back of your mind a little bit because you've not got this little kid in front of you. Then when your daughter come along, did old things get sort of brought up where like moments where, you know, you'd be looking at your daughter's fifth birthday and you'd remember what you were having at your fifth birthday? Would it sort of open up that sort of thought process of what happened to you?
The closest thing I had to that was a terrible sense of guilt I felt, which, believe me, I got over. If I had another kid, I'm not going to be... this is going to sound terrible when I say not as present. I mean, I was there for everything. And if I had another kid, I'd be like, yeah, fuck him. He'll figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. Yeah. We're all like that with the second kid. Yeah. That is definitely the way with the second kid.
Do you think you was a little bit too keen to be at every single thing then with your first? Because your dad wasn't.
I mean, I felt like, well, I had a whole bit about... you know, burdening her. Like I love her and she's going to appreciate it, but I am going to be a burden. My love for her is going to be burdensome for her. Like, dad, enough, you know, yep, you're right, honey. You're right. Okay. Yeah. just I'll sit over here at this table. No, I'm on the date. Just leave. Yeah, no, that's what I meant. I'll just, no, you can't be outside either. That doesn't work.
How was, you said they were good, she was good at eating, she was good at sleeping. Those early days with, say, nappy changing and all that kind of stuff, if you're you were fully involved, how was that for you? Did you feel like, because I remember with that thing, I actually was like terrified of all that stuff, but I actually found it, I was like, I can deal with this actually better than I thought.
Yeah, I had the same thing. I didn't know what I was doing. And especially the first month is just, you know, and my wife had a C-section, so she was laid up for a while. So I had to, you know, when she's like an infant, the one, I think, lasting negative result of the thing that happened was I'm an incredibly light sleeper now, where I wasn't a heavy sleeper, but I will wake up like that. I mean, if I hear anything, I wake up. And I think it's from, you know, the first couple months of like sleeping, you know, next to the crib and having to get up and feed her. And if there were any, you know, kind of cries or anything, like I really think it goes back to that. I had a whole bit that I never did about taking the baby monitor and extending it with different cameras all the way to Hartley's, to my pub. Having the guy at the bodega, you know, Jerry Riga.
And do you try and get her out to the sort of like, when you're at the weekend, obviously it's like a busy big city, where do you sort of go for like little breaks? Or I know you're going to St. Martin, but do you go into the sort of countryside or whatever with her, or is it very much a city kid?
I have a very small house on 5.5 acres in the woods that abuts a reservoir, so nobody will ever be through there. So it's very quiet. I've had it before I met my wife. I mean, I got it a long time ago.
That's why there's such good serial killers in America. There's so much space to work.
Yes.
Isn't there?
Yes.
You can just buy 5 acres and a cabin, and that's normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Then it's about just how quickly can you dig, you know?
Exactly. Swap the plates on the car, quick dig. Before you know it, you've got 4 on the go already.
I've got it down. I've got rubber tubing. I've got hyaluronic acid. I've got it all down. And so yeah, that's where we go. And it's like a 2-hour and 10-minute drive, and it's a pretty nice drive too. And it's just, as I said, I've been there since before I even met my wife, and know a bunch of people there, and it's cheap and it's beautiful. It's right along the Delaware River. It's beautiful.
And do you when you go away on tour and stuff, do you feel a wrench going away on tour? Do you feel like a kind of...
I did, but it's such a part of the routine now that she... and she's kind of gotten past that stage that kids get where they won't let you leave. No! And they cling on to you.
Yeah.
So she's past that, and, you know, she knows what I do. She knows that's work, you know. But the flip side of that is I'm here. I work out of my, you know, I'm here in my basement where I write. I'm sitting, you know, and she's upstairs, you know, and she goes to school down the street, public school. And I take her, you know, took her there in this morning. I get her up, get her ready, take her there. We walk there. I'm between two awesome parks. I'm right. We spent almost all day yesterday at Prospect Park, which is one of the best. I mean, it's just a great park, and then they had the sprinklers turned out the playground. We were there all day, and you know, Brooklyn's a really, really kid friendly place.
Yeah,
Josh, do you want to do the final question?
Yes, David, we always end with the same question, which is there's one thing about your partner as a parent that just blows your mind and you can't believe it, that you can't do yourself as a parent, and the other part of the question is there one thing your partner does as a parent that really annoys you, but you haven't said it, but were they to listen to this podcast, that'd be your way of communicating it to her.
Oh, I see. Sure. Blame the podcast. Okay. Well, I would say the thing that I admire that I would wish that I could do that she can do that I can't is breastfeed.
would you shave your chest if you were breastfeeding or keep it hairy?
I would shave it. Yeah.
If it feels fair. But then when it comes through again, that might scratch the baby's face.
Yeah,
I think shave it, but you've got to keep on top of it.
When I kiss my daughter with stubble, like a few days ago, she's not happy. As two bearded men, how does that go down with your daughter? Does your daughter like your beard?
When you said two bearded men, I was thinking like, wait, are you, is this like my two dads situation? Yeah, she doesn't mind it. It's pretty much what she knows.
But my girl says it's too scratchy and they would rather their mum kiss them and cuddle them.
My wife is, she's the cuddle master in that relationship. But just like so many parents and families, I'm the just naturally more roughhousing, and there's like punching. Yeah. She beat me up and she gets on top of my head and like bangs my head like a bongo and where she'll
How
just
do you feel about that? Slapping your head like a bongo.
I mean, sometimes I go, Marla, that's enough. That's too hard. but I don't mind it.
Because I always felt like to a bald man, slapping the head's the worst thing you can do, isn't it? It feels like that's the lowest you can be to a man with no hair, is to just slap the head like a bongo. That feels like it would trigger me.
It's I'm happy to sacrifice. It's okay.
For me, it's the equivalent. I suffer with having like man boobs sometimes when I'm a bit heavier, and the equivalent for me would someone to come up and just start wiggling them. Just like, you know, that would be my equivalent of just a slap on the forehead.
Well, it's one thing if it's a stranger, I suppose.
Of course.
It does depend on the situation.
That's not an open invite to other people.
No, please don't do that if you see me. But if you see David Cross slapping on the head, he absolutely loves it. just a bit of fun. And the last part of that question, what is the one thing she does that frustrates you, your partner, with parenting?
Easily. It's... let me answer seriously the first part. She can intuit things way better and quicker than I can. Like she'll go, she just needs some food. She just needs that. She'll be, 90% of the time she's right and I'm wrong. Or she's anticipated this thing and like, that's what it is. And she's right, almost all the time. Like, don't do that. She needs this. And I'm like, oh, okay, got it. But the thing that I really, this is nothing that we haven't talked about either, is she's very, very quick to put her, give her a iPad or here's a cartoon or here's this. And I don't do that like numerous times if we're, one of us is gone, we'll drive up to the woods, to the house up there. And I never bring the iPad ever. I never have.
Fair play.
Respect.
And
not a bit of me, but respect.
I don't give her the phone. I don't give her the iPad. I don't have a TV up there. We have a DVD. She can watch movies, but I don't bring that shit. And we'll spend
just the chipmunks on three DVDs. That's the options up there.
That's all. Yeah. All she's got is my, anything I've done. So definitely watch Kung Fu Panda or increasingly poor decisions of Todd and Margaret, which she doesn't go for, but Megamind. Sure. You can watch Megamind all day. You know, I'm getting residuals, right? No, I don't. So that's a thing that I am really feel pretty strongly about, and I don't just go, oh my God, I need, here you go. Here's the TV. So I don't do that.
It sounds like you are an incredible dad, David. You're an incredible comedian. Go and see him on tour in, let me try and do it off the top of my head, Belfast, Dublin, London, Manchester, and somewhere, Glasgow. That was it. And also in America.
Cheers. Thanks
thanks
for coming
so
on, David.
Thanks so much, David. Enjoy your day.
Cheers. Right, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Pleasure.
David Cross.
Lovely bloke. Would you like to live in New York?
Yes, but not long-term with kids. Sounds stressful.
Yeah. Well, there we go. We'll be back on Tuesday. David Cross is on tour.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.